Oh, let's take our Bibles, if you would, please, and let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Appreciate everybody being here. I have had some people that I've talked to today on the phone and different emails and so on that have been battling. There was a lady that called me today, and she called me this morning and said that there was an issue that was going on, and she felt like it was a Jezebel spirit. And I'm going to try to explain a little bit about that tonight. I'm not going to spend a lot of time dealing with Jezebel, but I thought maybe to just kind of go in a certain direction tonight that hopefully would be a blessing to some people. And she called this afternoon, and just I could hear in her voice there was some excitement there. And she said that throughout the day, God has just shown her that he has conquered that spirit. And she would just call me rejoicing. She said, "You can tell everybody at that church, thank you for praying for me, and just that God can deliver us." And I just, amen. It was just good to hear from her. Today, in an exchange of messages, I was pretty straight on with a woman that was not satisfied with my preaching here of late. And she felt like I ought to be preaching messages and dealing with some issues that she felt was important. And at one point she referred to me as being a lazy preacher because I'm not dealing with some of the issues that she feels I need to be dealing with. And she told me this, she said by way of message this afternoon that I would probably consider her to be a Jezebel. What I had told her was that there are some women that are very, very close to me. My mom, my wife, my daughters, my sister. And I said, none of them tell me what to preach on. They respect me better than that. And I said, I have to do what God tells me to do. And I preach what God tells me to preach. And if I'm wrong, then God corrects me and God chastises me. And he's done it before and he'll do it again. God's not afraid of me. But I am afraid of him. And I told her that there have been women in the past and women in the future that have tried to control me with various means and try to tell me what to preach and what I shouldn't preach. And I said, one lady a few years ago tried using money to do that. And I said, I don't go for that. Don't ever think that you can buy me out, because it's been done before, and I'm not that way. In Revelation 2, verse 20, Jesus is dealing with an issue in this church. It's the church at Thyatira, and he praises them for some of the things that are going on there, but then he says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel." The word suffer means allow. This church is allowing a woman, Jezebel. Now, is that her real name or is that what Jesus called her? Either way, that's what Jesus said she was. All right? Whether she was born with that name or Jesus just pinned it on her and everybody in the church knew who he was talking about. But anyway, they were allowing this woman, this Jezebel woman, number one, which calleth herself a prophetess. Now, I'm going to show you from the Bible that there are women in the scriptures that were allowed to prophesy. Some even called a prophetess by the word of God. But Jesus makes it clear in this passage, I never called her a prophetess. She called herself that. She appointed herself as, I guess, the mouthpiece of God, even though Jesus is saying, I never called her that. She calls herself a prophetess. And what she is doing is that she is usurping authority in that church and leading some people in this church in the wrong direction. Number one, She calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication. Now, we don't know exactly what's being said and what's being done in this church, but we do know for a fact that this woman is committing fornication, probably with several men in this church, teaching them that it's okay to do that. And let me tell you something. I've been around the block several times. I've been in church for a long time, and I've seen more than one preacher use his position as the mouthpiece of God, or the alleged mouthpiece of God, to try to talk some woman into climbing into bed with him, teaching her that this was God's will. There's a man up here in St. Louis years ago named David Taylor. He was one of these prophets of God. Apostle David Taylor. And he went on a tour for the Prophecy Club, Wayne, and the guy was telling me that he always had this female entourage travel with him. And some big burly guys. That was his bodyguard. He was real, some big real hot snot. And he said while he was doing the tour, he had this woman traveling with him. And he went to her hotel room in the middle of the night. Said, Jesus told me to come down here. He wants you to be with me. Yep. And come to find out, she started complaining about it, making it known, and he threatened her, and he said, boy, you don't want to mess with God now. You can't tell everybody about this. You're going to be messing with God. Well, come to find out, he's got a long line of women that he has usurped and basically told, God wants you to be with me. Okay? This is what's going on here. This is Jezebel. She's seducing the servants of God and his people, seducing them to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Four things that the Jerusalem Council told us Gentiles in Acts chapter 15 that we should not do. One was to eat things strangled. The other thing was to eat blood or eat anything that had blood in it. The third one was to do not eat any food sacrificed to an idol. And the fourth one was not to commit fornication. And Jezebel is teaching this church to break two of those four commandments that we were told not to do. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. Verse 21, he said, I gave her a space to repent of her fornication. Now I'm going to throw something in here just for a minute. And I don't care if it's anybody here or anybody watching online live or going to listen or watch the recording later. You went out and committed sin. And God let you get away with it. Don't think for a minute that God is giving you a special tolerance that he's not giving anybody else, and he's letting you get away with something that he's not letting anybody else get away from because you're special to God. The fact that God did not come down on you in wrath immediately when you committed a sin, do not think for a minute that God has given you any special allowance that he's not giving anybody else. Let me tell you what God's doing. God has given you time after you've thought about what you've done to come to him and repent of what you've done. Don't consider God's giving you time as God being weak. Or don't think that because God gave you time and you seemingly got away with it without being caught, don't take that as God making an allowance for you that he does not make for everybody else. Because I will tell you something. What God's doing in that time is he's giving you space to repent. And if you consider for a minute that you are given an allowance just because God did not strike you dead with a lightning bolt right then and there, don't think for a minute that God's given you an allowance and you can keep on doing it. Because when God is done with his space for repentance, God's going to come and get you. And what you think you've been getting away with all this time, you're not getting away with anything. And God is going to make sure that you and everybody that knows you and 100 people who have never heard of you, God is going to make sure that everybody knows what you did. Look at this. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I've just about had it with people who write me and say, you're preaching a false doctrine because you're telling everybody to repent. I'm about sick of it. I'm about headed up to here. Okay? And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Let me tell you something, church. Let me tell you something, Bethel Church. Let me tell you something, online church. You keep doing this stuff, whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you're guilty of, you keep doing it and think that God's okay with it, that God gives you a special deal that he's not giving to anybody else. Do not mistake God allowing you time to think about what you did and repent of it as some weakness on God's part, or that God lets you get away with it because you're really special to God. Don't think that. Unless you want to be exposed for who you are in front of the entire world. You think God can do it? He just said so right here. He said, I'm going to make sure that all the churches know that I not only know everything that's going on in everybody's life, but I'm going to deal with it. Somebody say amen. There's too much sin in too many churches. Too much wickedness and rebellion and unconfessed sin in too many Christian homes and Christian lives. And anybody who thinks they can sin and keep in it and continue in it and think it's going to be okay, you're dead wrong. And what God's doing, God by his mercy is holding himself back from killing you. If I were you, I would take that time and get on my face before God and in true godly sorrow repent and repent some more and repent until you are satisfied that God has forgiven you. Amen. That's what I would do if I were you. Now I'm going to move on from there. Jezebel, she has called herself to be a prophetess. This woman that I dealt with today, and I'm going to be honest with you, I was not nice to her. I wasn't. I don't like it. I don't like dealing straight on with somebody who's trying to pull me in a certain direction and say, you need to be saying this and you need to be preaching this. I don't like being in that position. But I ain't no different than anybody in this church house and anybody listening online. Amen. And I can be pulled so far, and then I'm going to say, I'm going to put a stop to this. I'm going to sever this right here. I'm going to cut this off. Now, I'm pretty sure that after today, there's going to be talk, okay, about what I said. I have a sheet of paper with it printed out, what I wrote, a record kept, so that if they're going to say something that ain't true, they'll have to lie about it. But I don't let too many people in this world tell me what to preach, what not to preach. Now, let me tell you this, and I'll tell you what I told her. There are two pastors that I've gone to privately and told these men, you be a gatekeeper of my mouth. And if I say something that is out of line with this Bible, you call me. One of them told me, he said, Mike, I'm not going to call you. I'm going to pray and let God call you. I said, that'll work. I have close friends in the ministry and in this church that if I step out of line with things that I say, there's people that'll come to me, and you know what? I trust them. But just because you're watching online and you're not satisfied with the direction I'm going in for a while, don't think that you can push me. And that's the manner in which it was done. It was pushing. Calling me lazy. And I said some pretty strong words. And basically what I said was, there's a lot of preachers on the internet for you to listen to. Move on. Okay? I've had to deal with it more than one occasion. a Jezebel spirit that tries to control behind the scenes. And if you're a woman and you feel like something ain't being preached and you think it ought to be preached and you think I ought to preach it, go tell God. God will get me. God will take me down the road a little bit. God will take me behind the woodshed if He has to. God's not afraid of me. I'm afraid of Him. Okay? Or you can go preach it yourself. Okay? But don't try to run the preacher behind the scenes. The stuff ain't right. Okay? That is a Jezebel spirit. Now, here's something. I'm just going to throw this in very quickly. Notice that Jezebel calleth herself. The qualifications of the man of God. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. For bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Now, let me just throw this in. There isn't a preacher in the world that's never not done anything wrong. Not a one. A bishop can only be blameless by the blood of Christ. And no one, same way you're blameless. You know what that means? He's got to keep his sins under the blood same way as everybody else does. Number one, he's to be blameless. He's the steward of God. He's not to be self-willed. Which means I don't steer the boat by myself. A bishop is not to be a dictator. No pastor should ever be a dictator. If he is, he's self-willed and he's violated the terms and conditions of his office of bishop. He is to receive good counsel from godly men. He is to receive leadership from the Bible and the Holy Ghost and steer the course the way God would have that steered. 2 Peter 2:10, the sign of a false prophet or false teacher is that they are presumptuous and they are self-willed. In other words, I do what I decide. I preach what I want to preach. I'll do it my way. That's how you can tell these guys are false teachers and false prophets. They are self-willed. And that, by the way, it goes for the preacher, doesn't it? It goes for the pew member too. The authority that we're all supposed to be under is here. Okay? Not a one of us are worthy to run this thing by ourselves. Let's receive counsel from the Word of God. Amen? So now, we're dealing with this hidden ruler deal. a Jezebel spirit in a church where a woman or even a man try to control things from behind the scenes. So I was praying about it today and I thought about it and I thought, you know what, I'm going to be nice. How is it that a woman can minister in the body of Christ and to the body of Christ? I believe they can. Because I believe the Bible. Amen. An example is Deborah in the book of Judges chapter 4. And now what I'm going to show you is, I'm going to read the verses here in a little bit that says that the woman is not to teach nor usurp the authority over man in the church. Just because, and here's what they'll say. Well, Deborah was a prophetess and she was a judge. So that's just like the same thing. And I want to tell you something. Do not use one place in Scripture to contradict another. If the Apostle Paul said that a woman is not to teach and usurp the authority of a man in the church house, don't go to Deborah and say, well, Deborah did it. Okay? Let me tell you what a judge was. A judge, there are women judges. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes they get it right more than the men do. God allowed Deborah to be a judge of the house of Israel. She was not a queen. She was not the president. She was not the prime minister. She was not the benevolent dictator. Her role was no different than Samuel's or Moses' role. She was to sit with the copy of the Bible in her hand, and as the cases were brought to her, she would determine what was right and what was wrong, not based upon her feelings or her moods or whatever hormones were raging through her body at the time. She was determining them based upon what the law said. And God used one particular woman in that fashion. And her name was Deborah. She was both a judge and the Bible calls her a prophetess. And some would say, see, right there. She was a preacher. We're going to follow the Bible. Amen. We're going to see what the Bible says that she was allowed by God to do. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Boy, J.R., if you were so moved to run downstairs and get me a bottle of cold water, there might be merit points for that. Right? All right. Luke chapter 2. Here's another case. Verse 36. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's few things in the world that I like more than to hear a wise old woman tell about the wisdom that she's got through life. How many of you love listening to grandma, listen to her talk? Okay? Oh boy, that is sweet. I love that. Do you think Anna had some wisdom about her being 84 years old? Well, she sure did. Okay? And look what it says. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, I want to tell you something. There is a huge difference. Thank you, Jar. There is a huge difference between these Jezebel church sluts who run about in the church house like they're really called of God. They're nothing but a daughter of whores is what they are. Amen. And they do not have the godliness that you see out of this lady here. She was in the temple night and day fasting and prayer. Her whole mind and life was dedicated to the service of God's people through the Word of God. That is a far cry from the health and prosperity, self-appointed Jezebel prophetesses of the day that we live in right now. Amen. Huge difference. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for a redemption in Israel, in Jerusalem. Here's what she did. This was what the prophetess Anna did. As soon as she saw Jesus coming into the temple, see, right here is that in the neighborhood of this story is that story of Simeon. When he sees Jesus, he said, now let your servant depart in peace. I've seen the Lord's salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people. I can die now. I've seen him. OK. Okay? And that next story there is Anna the prophetess. And she's not telling everybody, oh, you can be wealthy and rich and just send me a check for $1,000. She's not doing that. She's speaking about Jesus to all that look for redemption in Israel. She is prophesying of the Messiah. In other words, the attention is not placed upon Anna. Anna is giving the glory and the attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, even as he's a baby. See the difference? Now you go compare Anna to the Paula Whites of this world and the Beth Moores of this world and the Joyce Meyers of this world who are so wrapped up in themselves and their own name and their own wealth. You compare that with this lady by the name of Anna. I'm pretty sure you'll see a difference in them. Turn to the book of Joel chapter 2. What does your Bible say? Joel chapter 2. You believe the Bible? Say amen. What does it mean when Deborah was a prophetess? When Anna was a prophetess? What does that mean? Does that mean that she sold tickets to the meeting, held big seminar, had men? She's telling all these men in the church what to do? Does not mean that. Joel chapter 2, one of the promises of the Holy Spirit being poured out was this. Verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I believe the Bible. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not one of these that says, well, that's in the Old Testament. I don't care what page it's on in the Bible. If God said it, he said it. Amen. Peter preached this very same passage of Scripture on the day of Pentecost. And he said, Peter again said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Ladies, guess what you've been given the privilege to do? Prophesy. I'm going to show it to you. Your old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Handmaids. Even servant girls were given the privilege of having the Holy Spirit poured out to them and they prophesy. So what does prophesy mean? What does it mean? Some would say, oh, that means I'm going to, oh, ooh, I'm getting a word. Ryan, I'm getting a word right here. God's got great things. This is your year. God is about to unleash wealth on you. In fact, the manifold riches of God, God has shown me that he's going to unleash those this year on you. Is that not how it's done? Let me show you what the Bible says. Ezekiel 13:2. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. There it is right there. To prophesy, ladies, means to give people Bible verses. Bible verses. Ezekiel 21:9. Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. Ezekiel 30:2. Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. Prophesy, simply, it's very simple. Say what God said. And if you'll especially like read Ezekiel 13 and Ezekiel 21, you know what you'll see? God has had enough of the prophets who prophesy their own words. God's had enough of it. Because he tells them, do you know why those guys are prophesying? They prophesy of their own lust. They heap to themselves their treasures. They're not feeding the sheep. They're slaughtering the sheep, using the fat of the lambs for their own pleasure. They don't care about the church. They don't care about the people in that place. All they care about is their personal wealth. Big difference. Ladies, God has given you, God has, if you have the Holy Spirit, God has given you the privilege, the right, and the responsibility to share the Word of God with as many people as you possibly can. Don't shy away from that. In fact, I love you. I love you, ladies. Isn't it better for you to say what God said rather than what you want to say? Because God's always going to be right in His Word. And we're not. Ladies, you stick to the Word of God. And I promise you, at the right time and in such and such a place, God will pull Bible verses out of your brain just like a ticker tape was running out, printer paper coming out of the machine, and all of a sudden verses just be flying out of you, and you'll go, you know, I read that a year ago. I have no idea how I remembered what that was. The Holy Ghost knew how to do it. Amen. And you're just giving Bible verses to people. Now, you might share your own little testimony along with that, as long as it coincides with the Word of God. But give them the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Just because, as we said, just because there was a prophetess named Anna, just because there was a prophetess named Deborah, do not use the fact that they were allowed to give, thus saith the Lord, to people. Do not use that in such a way as to contradict some very plain things that we're told in the Bible concerning women and the gathering of the church. Because there is a difference. Ladies, do you think that you have the right to be heard in your own home? Oh, come on, gals. There was your turn. It's as much your home as it is His. Amen? And guys, you better say amen to that, because if you don't give her the right, she's going to take it no matter what. She's going to be heard. Okay? You listen, in the home, you tell them kids, now let me tell you, son, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the Bible says, boy. And let them have it with the Word of God. Amen. So that way you're not wrong. God made the woman to be the help to the man. And there's been more than once when my wife has had to remind me of what's in the Bible. And see, I can say that now. She's back there sick. Okay? She probably listening. Hi, sweetie pie. How you doing? Okay? I wouldn't say nothing about her here that I wouldn't say to her. At times, she's had to remind me of what the Word of God said. That's her responsibility. She's as got as much invested in 30 years of marriage as I do. She doesn't want to lose it just like that. She has a right to be heard. I do not believe in, nor do I like you guys that think you're the supreme Lord over your family, and especially preachers that I've known over the years who were the supreme Lord and God over their home, and their wife had to keep her little mouth shut all the time because he was the mighty man of God. I don't go for that stuff, and I don't like you. Amen. I don't. I hate that stuff. That's a bunch of nonsense. God never called God's men to be that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's what our apostle Paul said. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And let me tell you, ladies, don't try to be the boss in your family. Because you know what you're doing? You're stealing God's position. And who is it in the Bible that tries to steal God's position? Lucifer. You're trying to be like the Most High. Listen to me, ladies. God did not call you to be the boss of the family. Don't try to be the head over your husband. You are stealing God's position. that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonored his head. I do not believe these guys like Bill Schneblin and some of these others that have gone to this Jewish roots, they're now wearing the head, the skull cap, and prophesying with it on. Your Bible told you not to do that. I was taught, my ancestors would come up out of the grave and get me if I tried to lead in prayer one time and had left my hat on. Amen. Guys, when they say, let's have a word of prayer, you pull that cap off. Amen. Listen, at the truck pull, these guys with a beer in their hand, when the fella said over the intercom, we're going to pray, gentlemen, remove your hats. These guys removed their hats. These were lost men and they had enough respect for the man of God. Take your hat off when you pray, guys. It is a dishonor to pray or prophesy men with a hat on. There's been times in just fooling around, I wanted to put a hat on, wear it for Pastor Mike Online. I had this idea, I was going to take one of my hats and wrap it up in tinfoil and wear it during Pastor Mike Online. But I said, I can't do that because I'll be prophesying with a hat on. Now, the Bible says, every man praying or prophesying have his head covered, dishonor his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Watch this, verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Who created who first? Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. By all this has a bigger picture. Christ and the church, right? Jesus was not made for the church was made for Jesus. When God said to Adam, it's not good that the man should be alone, he was saying that to his only begotten son too. I'll make a help meet for him. And we, the church, are the help of Jesus Christ. We don't tell Jesus how to run the show. He tells us. So anyway, he says, verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now, do not ask me what that means. I have no idea. I'm going to wait for the Lord, all right? Verse 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? I believe that. I sure do. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Okay? But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Okay? And what he's telling you is, the woman is to be under the authority of the man, not the other way around. Okay? So that's one rule. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. Let your women keep silence where? In the churches. It is different outside of the church house. But in the church house or where the church is gathering for a meeting, let your women keep silence. They are not to prophesy. They are not to teach. They are not to preach and usurp the authority over man. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Some of you might remember a couple years ago, there was a woman that came as a visitor. And she decided, she kept raising her hand wanting to say something. And I finally said, ma'am, you know, what do you want? And she wanted to tackle me during Sunday school by saying to me, well, I don't remember what it was all about. She kept saying, well, I don't agree with what you're saying here. I think it should be like this and like this. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm going to ask you not to say things like that. She said, well, I kind of thought that's what this was. I thought we'd just kind of learn from one another. And I said, ma'am, and I gave her a warning three times. And I finally said, ma'am, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to ask you to leave. Okay? Well, she got up and stormed out. You know what I did? I went to my office and rolled up like a little baby and cried. I don't like doing that stuff. That makes me sick to my stomach to have to put my foot down and say, that's enough. But I could not let her get away with contradicting. She was contradicting the Bible. Because you know what I was teaching? What prophesying was. And that is exactly what I just showed you from the, and I was reading it from the Bible. She said, well, I have a different opinion of prophesying. I think it's, you know, you tell, and I said, ma'am, shh. And she didn't want to shh. So I did. I said, ma'am, if you don't be quiet, you need to go home and learn something from your husband. If you have any more questions, go home and ask your husband according to the Bible. And I'm going to ask you not to say anything else, or I'm going to ask you to leave. She got up and left. I don't like that stuff, but it's the Bible. Turn to Philippians 4:3, or you look at it on the screen. Philippians 4:3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Paul, we're looking at the role of women. God can use women. Paul, there was women that labored with him in the gospel. It doesn't say what they did. But God, and Paul was recognizing the fact that God was using these women to help Paul with the gospel, getting the gospel out to people. Surely, ladies, you know the Romans wrote of salvation, don't you? Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8-9, 1 John 1:9. Surely you know that. If you don't, go home and learn it. Because you're going to meet somebody that's going to need the Romans road of salvation. You just say, you know what? Romans 3:23 says, for all that have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin. And you can just reel that off just like that. They had a court in heaven that'll hold it against you. Amen? But anyway, 1 Timothy 5:1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as, listen, ladies, do what you're good at. Be a mother to these young ladies in this church house. Do what you're good at. The elder women as mothers, the youngers as sisters with all purity. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers. You know what that is? Online gossip. Church house gossip. That's false accusing. Why did Paul say that? Paul was not married, but he didn't have to be to know what a lot of women do. They gossip. And they talk. And they accuse. And before anybody gets too upset that the Bible won't let them preach in front of the church, work on the other issues first. Amen? Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Mamas in the church, teach these young women how to be godly women. See these ladies, young ladies back here? They're at the age right now where the ladies in this church are their role models. See these boys here, guys? They're at that age because I remember being in that pew. And these men, I thought the world of these men. I thought they were great. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. You know what that means? You don't go around talking about your personal lady stuff out in public in front of everybody. Amen. To be chaste. To be keepers at home. To be good, to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And you'd be surprised at the number of people say, well, Anna was a prophetess. That means I don't have to do any of this stuff. They'll use that. 1 Timothy 2:10. This is the last place I'm taking you tonight. 1 Timothy 2:10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. See, he's talking about adornment. Verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Joyce Meyer's entire ministry is unbiblical. Amen. Beth Moore's entire ministry is unbiblical. Paula White's entire ministry is unbiblical. And anybody who favors that nonsense. And they're what used to be conservative churches. Oh, Beth Moore, she's a Southern Baptist. So is she not one of them charismatics? So she's good. We're going to have Beth Moore come in here and stand on our stage and teach all of our men and women. And I want to tell you something about Beth Moore. She does not have a problem in the world receiving extra unbiblical revelations from God. And teaching that to people, to men and women both in the church. That is not right. And I have pastors, friends in the ministry that let her stuff be taught in their churches. Verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Again, just because God gave Anna, God gave Deborah, and God gives every godly, Holy Ghost-filled woman the blessing and the privilege of sharing the Word of God with people, that does not mean you cross over and become the church prophetess and God's going to give me things He's not going to give anybody else. And what I say, you have to do because I have the mouth of God. That is unbiblical and wrong. I won't put up with it. I don't put up with it. I don't like anybody. And I told the truth. The closest women in my life are my wife, my mother, my sister, my three daughters. Not once has any of them ever tried to lead me about how I ought to be preaching. They have respect for me in that area. And my wife knows, my mom knows, that if they think I need to be hitting on something and preaching on something, you know what they'll do about it? God bless my husband. Help him, dear God, to see the need. Help him, Lord, as he preaches. God bless my son as he preaches. Lord, help him to preach what you want him to preach in Jesus' name. That's what they'll do for me. That's really all I'm asking anybody to do for me because I don't know that I get it all right 100% of the time. And if I'm going to stay where I need to be, I'm going to need God's people praying for me that I stay where I need to be. But don't write me or call me or come over here trying to push my buttons or trying to dangle a check in front of me saying, well, we've been supporting you all this time, but we're going to have to pull our support. And I had a lady email me one time because I went off on Jesse Jackson and what's that other guy's name? Al Sharptongue. And she didn't like it. And I noticed that she had been given about $1,000 through PayPal every month. And she wrote me an email and she said, I don't like the fact that you're doing that and I give quite a bit of money to you. And I wrote her back and I said, ma'am, keep your money. But don't tell me what to preach. Amen. And then I went, God. Y'all stand to your feet or I'll keep you all night.